It indeed is time for us to talk some baseball right now as we get ready for the 2018 season and hopefully a successful fantasy season for you, as we're happy to welcome back to the program from the Fantasy Baseball Hour, a contributor to FanGraphs and FanTracks, Al Melchior, back with us. Al, good afternoon.
Thank you, Rich. Good afternoon to you, too.
Great to have you back on with us. And, well, let's get right to it and talk about one of the more recent acquisitions. And you wrote about this as well. The move Baltimore made, picking up Alex Cobb. What should we expect from a guy who pitched a lot of innings coming back from injury but was a little bit erratic last year?
Yeah, he was. And, you know, I think the results actually, even though they were maybe a bit underwhelming, might have even been too good to be true in a way, because he really was one of the pitchers in the majors last year that was most prone to allowing contact. But the control was good, as it usually is for him. But, you know, his bread and butter in the past was usually, you know, being a pretty decent strikeout pitcher, getting a lot of ground balls. He didn't do really an outstanding job in either dimension last year. I did read a piece within the last couple of days that he intentionally stayed away from using the changeup last year, you know, just coming back from Tommy John, and that he's going to use it more again this year. Maybe that'll be a good strikeout pitch for him, but from a fantasy perspective, I really don't have much interest in Alex Cobb.
One of the more intriguing guys out there, whether it's from a fantasy perspective or just as a baseball fan in general, is Ohtani and the experiment that the Angels are going with. If you're drafting Ohtani, do you look at him as a pitcher, as a hitter, neither or both?
I was, you know, there's big debate within the fantasy community of, you know, how should he be treated? One player, you know, separate pitcher, hitter. I was very excited that, you know, some of the big sites were able to work out, you know, and engineer their game so you could actually use him as both a hitter and a pitcher, you know, switching him around, you know, in different slots in your roster. But, you know, hasn't gone that well this spring. I do have much more hope for him as a pitcher. So, you know, even if you're in the sort of format like a daily lineup change format where one day you can have him in your rotation and the next day you can have him DH, I'll be keeping my eye on how he develops throughout the season. But I don't have that much hope for him as a fantasy DH this year. So, in drafting him, I have some interest in him as a pitcher, but, you know, again, the innings are likely to be limited. Angels are planning to go with the six-man rotation. He may only, in the best-case scenario, maybe throw 160 innings this year, and the results in spring haven't been that great. I don't worry too much about that. But, yeah, I think in terms of drafting him for him to be an all-purpose player for me, I think maybe that could be another year or more down the road.
Kind of a big-picture question. We've seen such a big spike in home runs in the last couple of seasons for whatever reason, the ball, whatever it might be. Has that now devalued the home run and power hitters?
I mean, it has to a degree. I think it's just it ratchets everybody's numbers up a bit. So, if you look at it from the perspective of, you know, I want to have X number of 20-plus homer hitters in my roster, yeah, that's not going to be a useful way to look at it. But in terms of, you know, looking at the relative power from one player to another, I'm trying to remember where I saw this. Unfortunately, I'd love to give the author some credit. It was a piece on Fantrax. The author did a study of looking over the last several years at standard deviations. And while the numbers have gone up overall, the standard deviations have stayed pretty constant. So, the elite power hitters are still elite. They're just being elite by hitting 40 instead of 30, you know, or roughly thereabouts. So, you know, you just got to, you know, judge the players in terms of their relative production, which is really what you should be doing anyway.
Every year, whether you're in an old school 4x4 league or a 5x5, always people out there looking for cheap sources of saves and those guys who could emerge from the pack as one of the many people who inherits a closer role as the season goes on. Where should a smart shopper go looking for some of those kind of guys?
Well, the thing that you have to keep in mind is that probably two-thirds of the opening day closers won't be closers on the last week of the season.
Right.
So just, you know, as one example, we had the Tout Wars auctions this past weekend in New York, I'm in the mixed league auctions, 15 teams, 5x5, but with OBP. And I haven't splurged on saves in any of my prior auctions or drafts. Maybe it was just boredom or frustration on my part, but I went and splurged on Kenley Jansen. I spent the $25 it took to get him. I think that's a reasonable price for Jansen. And he's one of really a very small number, maybe half a dozen closers that I really trust this year. There's him, there's Kimbrel. I actually think even though he doesn't have a lot of closing experience, that Brad Hand is pretty solid. Raisel Iglesias.
Well, let me ask you about one, because this was bad planning. I should have had you on yesterday before I had to submit my keepers in my league. I hung on to Cody Allen of the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah. No, great call. Because if I kept going with another 2, 3, 4 closers that I think are proven, reliable, they have the good peripheral stats to back up, the good fantasy stats, the good surface stats. Cody Allen's one of the best and one of the most consistent. He's not a Kenley Jansen level in terms of overall production, but I think he matches him in terms of consistency. So I think that was a great move on your part.
Excellent. I like to hear that. Well, who is someone who might emerge from one of these bullpens that's in disarray right now, or might overtake a closer who's only about two blown saves away from losing the job?
Yeah, and again, given that I don't, trust at least 2/3 of the closers. I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities there. But the St. Louis Cardinals, the situation, I talked about that on my show earlier today. It's wide open. They don't have a designated closer. But I really like Tyler Lyons because I figure he's good enough to get saves. He's good enough to keep the job if it's given to him. But even if that doesn't work out, he's the kind of guy who in relief could pitch a lot of multiple inning stints, maybe finish with 75, 80 innings, get you a lot of strikeouts and really good ratios. So he's a non-for sure closer that I like. I think the Marlins situation could be fluid. I like Brad Ziegler well enough, but I think they've been grooming Kyle Bearcloth for that role for about a year now. I think he'll get his shot at it. And Drew Steckenrider is another one in that Marlins bullpen maybe to keep an eye on, although development-wise, he's just a little bit behind where Bearcloth is. So those are a few names. And the Mets situation, I'm not really trusting Jerry Familia. That is at least nominally a committee situation to start the year. And I really like Anthony Swarzak a lot. I like him better than Familia or A.J. Ramos. And like Tyler Lyons, he's a guy who, as the consolation prize, just might give you a lot of really good innings. But I think could wind up with a bunch of saves as well.
We're talking with Al Melchior here on Downtown. You wrote about some of your draft day targets, possible sleepers. One of them, Kevin Kiermaier, is he one of those classic post-hype kind of guys?
I do like him. I guess, there was a little bit of hype this time last year. There certainly was much hype for him as a prospect because he was considered really almost a defense-only type outfielder. But I think coming out of 2016, he finished that year really strong. I think a lot of people saw the potential for a little bit of power, more than a little bit of stolen base help, and a good OBP. And I think after last season where he got hurt yet again and where he didn't quite meet the expectations, maybe that label does fit him. And so I like the price, given that the expectations have lowered a bit on Kiermaier. But I think all of those parts of the package that we were looking for a year ago are still there.
You also like Tanner Roark of Washington.
I do, just because he's in a category of players that are pretty steady, unspectacular in any one category, but the whole package is something that not only can help you, but you can get it very cheaply. So Roark should give you a good number of innings in an environment now where starters are going shorter and shorter innings per start. Relievers are becoming more important. I think he's one of the more reliable starters for innings, and he'll be decent enough for strikeouts to get a lot of wins with the lineup that's supporting him there. So I just think he's going far too late and far too cheaply, but that benefits you if you get him.
Al, let's look. Who are a couple guys that are at the other end of the spectrum, those players who may go too early or for too much money based on the stats last year that aren't really supported by some of the underlying numbers?
I'd say the first person who comes to mind in that category is Mike Zunino. He's getting drafted really, really early. I think it was the Labor AL, one of the industry drafts, where he actually went for a dollar more than Salvador Perez, and that just had me scratching my head because Perez is steady and proven and an absolute workhorse who will, you know, give you, compile a lot of innings and a lot of counting stats, if nothing else. And, you know, Zunino had an apparent breakout last year where he hit for good power and the batting average didn't decimate you, but he, you know, struck out more than a third of the time and got on base on balls of play at a rate that just doesn't look sustainable. So, you know, maybe the power is legit for Zunino, but you know, I wouldn't be totally shocked if he hit 210 this year. And that's, you know, there's plenty of catchers out there who can give you power and hit, you know, 230. So I think he's getting very overdrafted. And I wouldn't say so much based on the stats of last year, but what people are projecting for him this year. I don't quite understand why Manuel Margot is getting drafted as early as he is. Speed power combos are hard to find. But you asked me about Kevin Kiermaier a couple minutes ago. I think Kiermaier is a little bit more proven. I think a worst case scenario, he can give you. And I don't think Margot is going to be a big power guy. I think, you know, you're just looking at maybe, you know, him being a 15 home run, you know, 25, maybe 30 steal guy. That's a tough combination to find, but I think you can get that same thing from Kiermaier and get it much more cheaply.
If you're in a pure draft, not an auction, who's the first pitcher you take?
I still got Kershaw number one, but I really do view him along with Chris Dale, Max Scherzer, and Corey Kluber as almost completely interchangeable. So I haven't actually drafted Kershaw, but I do have Kluber in a few leagues because he's typically the fourth of the four to go. So while I do have Kershaw number one, I'm just as happy to wait for any of the other three.
All right, this one's purely for me before we let you go. I'm in an American League only league, and I kept, based on what he did last year, but, and I don't know that he'll repeat this, but Andrelton Simmons put up some numbers last year that were a little bit out of the norm for him. Can he sustain any of that?
I think he probably can. It looked sustainable, and it was a little bit of a belated breakout. You can maybe call it post-hype. For Simmons, because when he first came up with the Braves, he's a great contact hitter, showed a little bit of pop initially, and you thought, well, you know, maybe this is a guy who can hit 290 and you know, give you 20 home runs. Of course, now we're in an environment where 20 home runs doesn't mean as much, but you know, he could be in that 15 to 20 range and help you with batting average. So I like Simmons just fine. I will just say that I haven't drafted him in any leagues. There's a shortstop I really like who I think could put up fairly similar numbers to Simmons, and he's going much, much later, and that's Ketel Marte of the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. So while I think Simmons can repeat what he did, I think there are other shortstops, Marte most notably among them, who could do something similar for a better price.
Good stuff as always. Al Melchior, the host of the Fantasy Baseball Hour. You see his work as well on FanGraphs and FanTrax. Al, it's always great talking with you. Thanks for making time for us. Have a great season, and we'll try and catch up with you again as the year goes on.
All right, that sounds great, Richard. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much. Al Melchior talking fantasy baseball with us here on Down.